A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, Colton Dread on scene. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to episode 8 of British Invaders. This is the podcast where we talk all about British science fiction television, and we are continuing our discussion of Quatermass. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Xander from England. As well as the TV serials, which we discussed last time, there for all three of the 1950s serials, there were film versions made by the Hammer Studios, who are a famous British, basically, horror studio. Well, came to be known for their horror programs, their horror films in the 50s and 60s. The first one came out in 1955, quite soon after the original BBC version, and it was called The Quatermass Experiment, but spelt with an X, without the E, because it was an X-rated film. I believe the film was renamed for North America as The Creeping Unknown. This version didn't have any involvement from Nigel Neal. The script was rewritten, I think, by the director, without any reference to Nigel Neal, and I think he was not happy with the changes. Obviously, the plot was condensed from the serial to fit into a single film, and the other major change that was made is to the ending, is instead of having a intellectual solution to the problem, there was basically a physical solution where the monster is blown up in classic B-moving fashion, which is very different from how the ending was done in the TV version. Hammer wanted to make a sequel to this movie. In fact, they did make a sequel called X to the Unknown, which was originally meant to feature the Quatermass character, but Nigel Neal denied them the use of that character. So although they produced the movie and it features a scientist as one of the main characters, it is not Bernard Quatermass. However, in 1957, they did make a version of Quatermass 2, which was also known as Enemy from Space, and Nigel Neal did actually rewrite his scripts into a screenplay. And apparently, not surprisingly, I guess, he was more satisfied with this version. I've seen both these movies, and in fact, Quatermass 2 actually used a lot of the same locations as the BBC TV serial, so it is actually very similar in look to the BBC version. A long time later, actually 10 years later, they made a version of Quatermass and the Pit, which again was renamed in some territories as 5 Million Years to Earth. This was the first one made in colour, and again was very faithful to the BBC version, and it was again written by Nigel Neal. And I think of the movies, it's probably one of the better ones, because it is very close to the BBC version.
The Hammer film versions of the Quatermass serials, as they went on, each one tended to get a little bit better than the previous ones, and they tended to become more faithful to the original ones. In fact, Nigel Neal, who had no involvement in the first one, I think co-wrote the script on the second one and had some control over the script, but not full control. And then by the time it was the third one, Neal just wrote the script altogether. They came closer and closer to the vision that Nigel Neal had for Quatermass. And I think the first one was much less distinctive than the television version. It was more like the B-movies and the things that were more for children than the original one was. The actor who played Quatermass in both the Quatermass Experiment and Quatermass 2 in the Hammer versions was Brian Donlevy, an American actor. While Hammer was a British company, they had some American backing, and part of the deal for their backing was to have an American actor. There has been some criticism over Donlevy's portrayal of Quatermass. It was more mechanical and not as quote-unquote intellectual as some of the other actors who played it. In Quatermass and the Pit in the Hammer version, Quatermass was played by a Scottish actor, Andrew Keir, and he was considered to be a much better match for the character than Dunleavy was.
Yeah, I think if you consider the Brian Dunleavy Quatermass as a different character, then it works okay. If you don't compare it with the BBC versions or with the film version of the Quatermass and the Pit, I think there's nothing wrong with the acting. It's just played very differently, and it's a much more gung-ho, forceful, hands-on character than the Quatermass people knew from the BBC. I think that's where the criticism comes from, rather than the fact he was a bad actor. I don't think he was. I think his acting's okay. It's just a very different portrayal.
That's probably true. The Hammer films are really a different take on the classic Quatermass serials. It's not the same thing. You aren't looking at the original Quatermass serials from the BBC. You're looking at something that's a little different.
Yeah. So far, we've talked about the TV shows that were produced in the 1950s and the movie versions of those which were made in the 50s and 60s. In fact, in the late 1970s, in 1979, there was another Nigel Neill scripted Quatermass story that actually appeared not on the BBC but on ITV. It was just called Quatermass, and it starred Sir John Mills as Quatermass. It's a post-apocalyptic type of story. They don't say why, but the society seems to have broken down. Quatermass has retired from running his rocketry group of his own, but it starts off with him commenting on a space shot that the Americans and the Russians are doing, which is rudely interrupted by another extraterrestrial event, which kicks off the story.
It had a very different feel from the classic 1950s Quatermass programs. It introduced this sort of post-apocalyptic world, where in the earlier ones, the world was very much our world, except with these events that they were dealing with. So they had this world where there was looting in the streets and everything, society had broken down, and people didn't really understand why. And Quatermass, at this point, was an older character. Quatermass was always somewhat older character. He wasn't a young man, but at this point he was quite a bit older, and he was retired in seclusion in Scotland and just coming back to London to do one or two things to appear on this television program about things and so on. As things start going wrong, he's pulled back into being the person who is the scientist who can solve everything. It was also released theatrically in a few places. I believe in the US and some other places. Very limited release, but it was released in a shorter cut called Quatermass: The Conclusion, which was about half as long as the original serialized version.
I watched this serial at the time, in 1979, and it's obviously the only one I saw at the time it came out. And certainly at the time, it seemed very much a comment on the way society seemed to be going, certainly in the UK, that things were a bit rough. There was quite high unemployment and strikes and things like that and rioting. And it seemed to be a commentary on things that were going on, much like the way Nigel Neill had picked up on other things in the 1950s. He picked up on what was going on in the world in 1979 or in the UK in 1979. I think the other thing that seems to be a comment, it seems to have a comment on old age versus young age. Say the protagonist is old. And in fact, the sort of solution to the plot involves Quatermass getting together a bunch of colleagues and scientific acquaintances who are all also retired people. And the sort of foe is sort of involved with a cult of young people. So there seems to be a comment on age and ageism, and maybe it was Nigel sort of Neil reflecting on the fact that he was old as well.
After another break of over 20 years, in 2005, the BBC decided to remake the original Quatermass experiment. This was part of a retrospective series on the 1950s, where they were showing a bunch of old 1950s programs and talking about different things with the 50s. they did a new remade version of the Quatermass experiment, and they actually shot it live, as was done with all of the 1950s serials. But in 2005, this was a little bit more unusual than it was in the 50s. It was actually quite faithful to the original. It was based on Nigel Neal's original scripts with some modifications and updates, and they made it shorter, but it was, for the most part, very similar to the original scripts, the original version. Nigel Neal, while he didn't write the modification to the script, he was actually involved. They consulted with him. He was in his 80s at this point. There is also a version of it that's available on DVD that is only slightly tweaked and adjusted from the original live broadcast. Personally, I thought they did a great job of this. It was well done for something that was live, but I think it stood alone as a dramatic production and was quite strong. I really enjoyed it. And it gave us a way to see the Quatermass experiment that was more faithful to the original live broadcast than the Hammer film version was.
Yeah, because until 2005, the only way to see the whole story in any form on screen was the Hammer version, because, as we mentioned earlier last time, only the first two episodes were recorded of the BBC production in the 50s. This production starred Jason Fleming, who was a much younger actor than any of the actors who have played Quatermass before. I mean, basically, they were, as Brian mentioned, they were all elderly characters, probably in their 50s, I guess. Whereas Jason Fleming is a younger, I guess, in his 30s, actor, and he's playing as a younger, more dynamic, but still a very intellectual Quatermass.
That's right. Something that was interesting that they did in the original version of the Quatermass experiment, the final confrontation takes place in Westminster Abbey, and it was significant that it took place in a place of religion, and religion being important to society and so on. Well, in the new version, they didn't use a religious place, they used the Tate Modern Art Gallery. The idea being that religion does not have the same place in society that it used to, and maybe art has one that's a little closer. This was a change that apparently Nigel Neal was very pleased with, in that it helped to make it track with the current events and current society a little better, and this was something that he always liked to do.
I think the other, maybe another reason behind this was that the Westminster Abbey was partly chosen because it was well known to TV audiences, because in 1953 the Queen's coronation had been broadcast live from Westminster Abbey. Tate Modern, which was a relatively new art gallery that's opened in the 2000s, again just sort of in the public mind, so sort of a parallel there as well between the two chosen locations.
In addition to the television and film versions of Quatermass that we've already talked about, there have been some other productions. There was a radio serial that was broadcast on BBC Radio in 1996. It was called The Quatermass Memoirs. And it was, of course, written by Nigel Neal. And it did not actually have a major new story. It was more of a recap that covered the original 1950s serials. It didn't talk about the 1979 serial, but it featured an older Quatermass played by Andrew Keir, who was in the Hammer film version of Quatermass in the Pit. It featured him talking to a journalist about things that he had done in the past, and they use clips from the original 50s serials and carefully choose them so you never hear the voice of Quatermass, because it's a different actor playing Quatermass. But it was done reasonably well. It filled in a few gaps. It gave you a description of the original Quatermass experiment, which we cannot see because the episodes were not recorded. It also had a series of comments by Nigel Neal himself. So you had Quatermass giving his memoirs and Nigel Neal giving his own memoirs. And Nigel Neal was talking about the process of writing Quatermass, but more so he was talking about 1950s society. He put it in context. It made it a nice little addition, but I wouldn't recommend it as a first thing to listen to get into Quatermass.
There have been at least one live production of Quatermass and the Pit. I read an online review of a outdoor performance that actually was performed in a quarry of the Quatermass and the Pit in a one evening performance, so I assume it must have been edited down to fit into an evening. And it seemed to be quite well reviewed. Obviously I haven't seen it, so I don't know how it went, but the reviewer liked it. All of the TV serials have come out in book form. Some of them were basically reproductions of Nigel O'Neill's scripts, and a couple of them, I believe, were novelizations also done by Nigel O'Neill. I haven't read any of these, so I can't really comment any further.
Nigel O'Neill claims that the best version of the 1979 Quatermass serial is in fact the novel rather than the TV version.
Why Philip K. Dick hit the madness years? Come over to the Starship Sofa.
You want to find out why it took us three episodes and drove us mad? Then you can also check it out.
Find out why Alfred Bester was the man who bridged the gap between the pulp fiction and
new wave.
If your cup of tea is science fiction classic films, we have them here. Dark Star, Capricorn One, and all cyberpunk enthusiasts out there, John Brummer was your leader. Come over and find out all about him on the Starship Sofa. We are the Pete and Dud of the science fiction world. Welcome to the Starship Sofa.
I'd just like to point out that we are not Ant and Dec, we are not Pete and Dud, we're not Derek and Clive. That's just what people have sent to us in email. www.starshipsofa.com.
Shuttle set for launch. Airlock will be open in 3, 2, 1.
The entire 1950s TV series is available as a collection in the UK on Region 2, and also the 1979 Quatermass ITV serial is available as a separate DVD, and the 2005 remake is also available as a separate DVD. So in the UK and in Region 2, we are well served with all of them being available basically on DVD.
And I think the Hammer films are available as well.
That's right, sorry, yes, the three Hammer movies are also available on DVD as well. At least the first two Hammer movies do actually have commentaries by the director, which do actually talk about the changes and Nigel Neal's involvement or lack of it.
The Quatermass collection that Xander mentioned with the three BBC serials includes those two remaining episodes of the original Quatermass experiment. It also includes PDF copies of the scripts for episodes 3 through 6. And unfortunately, those are scans of photocopies. They weren't retyped, and in places they are very hard to read, so I haven't actually read those scripts. On the other side of the Atlantic, in North America, there is a Region 1 DVD for the 1979 Quatermass production, and it has two discs. It includes the original British serial. It also includes the film version, Quatermass, The Conclusion. It does not have much in the way of extra features. The only thing you will find other than that in North American releases is that there were a few VHS releases of the Hammer film productions. I believe only Quatermass 2 and Quatermass in the Pit. Also, the radio serial, The Quatermass Memoirs, is available on CD from the BBC, and it's also available as a digital download from Audible.com. So you can get a fairly inexpensive copy of The Quatermass Memoirs from Audible. So, that covers most of what we have to say about Quatermass. So, in summary, Quatermass was a TV series that started in the 1950s about Professor Bernard Quatermass, who was in rocketry, and it dealt with the attempts to send rockets into space, and more importantly, the alien influences that came back, most of which were ethereal and not focused on big scary monsters and things like that.
Quatermass is likely to be the oldest show that we are going to cover on British Invaders, because certainly in the UK, very little exists from before 1953, when the first episode went out, from which the first two episodes still exist. Not only is it the first, I think it's also very key in the development of British science fiction television, and it influenced a lot of things that we will cover and have covered in other episodes of our podcast.
Absolutely. And that is part of the reason that it has come back in one form or another every 20 or 25 years. As far as our recommendation of Quatermass, there are a lot of different pieces here, so it's a little bit hard to say if you should watch it or not, but this is definitely classic stuff. If you enjoy watching older black and white serials at all, definitely see if you can find the original BBC Quatermass programs, especially Quatermass in the Pit. For my part, I also think that the new 2005 remake of the Quatermass Experiment is well worth watching. It was quite well done in a dramatic, theatrical type style that we haven't seen that much for the last decade or two.
Yeah, I think I basically agree with Brian that I think if you were going to watch one thing, it would be the BBC version of Quatermass and the Pit. But of course, at the moment, the only way you can get that is as a box set with the earlier serials as well. So if you were going to get it, you might as well watch all three in order, and just bear in mind that they do get better as they go on. So even if you think the first one is not to your liking, you might like Quatermass and the Pit more. I think if you can't get hold of the BBC ones, the Hammer films do have their merit. Again, they get better as they go on. The last one is pretty true to the BBC version, so if you really can't get hold of the BBC version, maybe the movie version is something to try, but I'd still recommend trying to get hold of the TV version as well if you can.
You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. Please send us your questions, comments. We are happy to hear whatever you have to say, suggestions for shows. Please send them in. Our next episode will cover The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the early 80s British miniseries version.
So this is a goodbye from Xander in England. Until next time.
And thanks for listening. This is Brian in Canada saying goodbye.